So one of the things that after I published the book and I had discovered some things about baseball in the 19th century, and I know you're aware that things are a completely different picture for professional baseball. It's nowhere near as popular in the 19th century as town ball is, as the college game is. And so when people just look at Lewis's record of only playing 94 professional games, they're missing a bigger picture. And so when I see organizations like the Cleveland baseball team, when I see organizations like the Baseball Hall of Fame, when I see organizations like Sports Illustrated, not only not get the story right, but publish myths and publish inaccuracies, it seems to me that I'd love to see the people of Maine say, no, he's not a footnote to history just because of his professional career. He was one of the greatest baseball players of his era, and we can do better. And so armed with a couple of people from the island, and I've made up my mind that this board of directors will be at least 50% Native American. There will be no question about, you know, what our intent is. And then I'm working together with several people who really, really care about this. We're going to make the biggest push we can for the state of Maine to do right by Lewis Sokolexis.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it's not just about Sokolexis. It's not just about the Penobscot Nation. But this is, it's a baseball story. It's a sports story. And it's a Maine story.
Yes. And I know that back in the day when you were working with those charming youngsters in middle school and you had Native American studies class, the Lewis's name comes up. Mm. My book has been out of print for a number of years now. I was grateful to the publisher for putting up 4,000 copies. The libraries have them. And so people can look this up, you know, and they'll discover that he was an extraordinary player. In fact, indeed, he was the inspiration for the myth of Frank Merriwell of Yale. And if there's a greater fictional baseball player in American literature, I don't think there is. And the only other one is Casey at the Bat. Of course, he wasn't successful. Lewis
That's
was.
Right.
So here we've got a figure. I like to say this a lot. You've probably heard me say it. In Bangor, we have a statue, a mythic figure who did mythic things. In Lewis Sokolexis, we have a real man who did mythic things on the baseball field.
So let's talk, first of all, about cost, Ed. Looks like the estimates that you have to do at least an 8-foot statue with a base, somewhere between $80,000 and $100,000?
Exactly. When my very dear friend Ted Bear Mitchell and I talk about this, we'd like to have a 9-foot statue or something bigger so that it will show to great advantage. But yes, I've spoken with a number of sculptors. It won't take people long to just think about some of the really outstanding sculptures in the area, figures that have been done. We'd love it if it was a Maine sculptor, but of course this is open. Once, you know, anyone who's got an interest, we'd love to hear from. But I've been told that, yes, it's got to be at least 8 foot high on a foundation base, and it should be of bronze for the most quality equipment so that it'll last.
Now, in terms of where, you've said in the press materials, almost anywhere. There are a lot of great options, whether it's Indian Island, whether it's Old Town, whether it's Bass Park, anywhere would work.
Yes, you're exactly right. One of the ones that I hadn't thought of, and this was Ted Bear Mitchell's idea. Ted, for those who don't maybe are thinking, I know that name, where do I know it from? He was the last Penobscot representative to the Maine legislature. And so Ted said, you know, Capitol Park would be a great place. And the next thing he said really got me. And he said, the kids' tours, they come constantly through there. And just imagine, there would be Sock right there on that pedestal. And I mentioned to him that when I took my papers and all the pictures I'd collected and everything, I donated them to the Maine State Library and Museum. It's a perfect. Yeah. You're there. Now you can go into the Library and Museum and see the pictures and the photographs. This would be great. So, yes, the idea is, it's not an auction, but who wants this the most? Right. Who will come to us and say, here's the idea that we've got. Castini played on a field that still exists, Rich, the old Fort George ramparts. Right. Of course, the field is in complete disarray, but that's where the field was. Fields in Augusta, fields, Poland Springs down in, on those grounds. So let's just see who's interested, who will be in touch, and let's see it. Yes, on the island makes a lot of sense. There's a place that they had a school, and it's right next to the cemetery. And so they're considering the idea of right there, mm-hmm. that's where we'd put the statue.
Ed Rice in studio with us. You mentioned Ted Bear Mitchell. Who else is on board with you?
John Bear Mitchell. This one's really important to me because I bet a lot of people out there who took the Native American Studies program at the University of Maine. John has a wonderful class. We've taken turns speaking at our various college classes over the year, and John is a Passamaquoddy storyteller, just a quality human being. And so one of the things that we had in mind was, let's make this a board of people who are just committed to this, aren't concerned about what's in it for them. It's a nonprofit. There are no salaries. In fact, we had to ask for office space at the one of the community colleges I spoke at, because I don't have a place in Bangor to take anyone. So there's no overhead. We wanted to have Chris Sokolexis on our board. The problem is that right now he's an officer with the Penobscot Nation. Yeah. So you just said, yeah, there's an obvious conflict of interest, and Chris is already conflicted. He wants it too desperately to be on the island, and that's understandable, of course. But we need to be open-minded on this. We're hoping that Chris will serve as a liaison for us, and so we're talking about it in those terms. Yes, I bet the journalist in you would ask me the question, well, are the people on the Penobscot Island going to be all this thrilled about it? Hey, we're not out to make everybody happy. It's an impossibility. Where is the best place for this statue? That's our goal.
You've got a website, sokolexis.net. You've got a Facebook group and page as well. And there's an email address, too, for anybody who wants to get in touch, get more information, or even help out with the effort.
Absolutely. That is Lewis Sokolexis Monument. You run the words all together. You don't need uppercase. Lewis Sokolexis Monument at gmail.com. We have a post office box, 318 Old Town, Maine, 04468. Both Ted and I are the only ones that have access to that post office box for donations and things. We're asking, you know, the granny who listens to the Red Sox games, and since she's on a fixed income and she'd like to send $5, you bet. I'm going to be one of the friends of Sokolexis too. I don't have that kind of money. We want everyone from one level all the way up to maybe a corporate involvement. That would be great. We have some really, really interesting people that we're reaching out to, and a celebrity already on board with us, Tess Gerritsen.
That's wonderful.
Who, you know, internationally renowned author. This is Ted's friend. She says that whenever she goes to a party, the only other person of color there is Ted. So anyway, Tess is a very good friend, and I was going to let Ted be the one to, you know, release the news, but he did it at the press conference. So I said, okay, it's open season now, right?
There
so
you go. Said,
absolutely. Tess has agreed. She will be an honorary member of the board, but she's already pledged a substantial sum to them.
Well, that's wonderful.
It is.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you as well your reaction to the news. Finally, after much effort from you through the years and others, Cleveland finally, in some fashion, not as completely as we would like, but in some fashion, phasing out Chief Wahoo.
God bless Rob Manfred.
Yes.
He played the card, didn't he, Rich? Yeah. You and yeah. I know yeah, that yeah. All-Star
you
game.
That All-Star game.
In Progressive here. So we need to know, your listeners, I don't know if they know or not, but I've been working with staff people at the Cleveland baseball team since back in 1999 when I discovered their media biography on Sokolexis in their media guide, and it had all kinds of mistakes. There are people at the lower levels who get it about all of this, but this is the Dolan family, and they know how much money they can make on this Chief Wahoo mascot, logo, whatever you have. And so they're making a fortune. And so at least we've got it off the players' uniforms on the field. But don't think that they're not selling all that merchandise right in their store.
Well, and also manage to retain the rights, so if somebody else wants to sell that merchandise.
Yeah, I've got one important thing to say about that. And when we look at all of this, when we consider the idea of this logo, it had nothing to do with Lewis. It came up in the late 1940s. You know, there it will be absolutely, if Cleveland makes a donation, that will be great, but we won't be concerned about the nickname either.
Right.
And he did inspire it, and we certainly won't be worried about Chief Wahoo. This will be on our terms, that this will be, and there won't be any words on there that would bother anybody.
Well, great work. As always, Ed, we appreciate you coming in to share the information with us. And keep in touch. Keep us up to date.
I will do that,
we'll
Rich.
Get you back on and spread the word some more about this wonderful project to honor Louis Sokolakis.
Thank you. You know what? It's a treat, my friend, after all these years, to have the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed Rice with us here on Downtown. We're 21 minutes after the